Welcome to the Confessions of a Christian Single Woman community, where you will be empowered to propel in all aspects of your purpose and no sister is left behind. Sit back and relax, grab your journal and pen, pour you a cup of coffee or tea, and go on this journey to self-discovery and growth in the Lord. Hello, Purpose Propellers. Welcome back. I am glad you are here and tuning in today. So we're going to talk about some good things today. We are still chatting about our topic, overcoming loneliness. I'm alone, but not lonely. And so I hope that you have been able to listen to the past couple of episodes and that something in them really resonates with you and helps you out as we continue to unpack what loneliness is, how we can spot it, and then how we can overcome it, right? And so last week we talked about the impacts of loneliness. And so today we're going to talk about the cultural and societal factors of loneliness. And so, you know, cultural norms have such a big impact on how we view the world and on how we do things. And so even with that and societal expectations, it can really influence how loneliness is perceived, one, and then also how loneliness is experienced, two, right? Two different things. And so we do know that we are in a world full of different cultures. And so different cultures do different things. And so in some cultures, there may be a greater stigma around loneliness than in other cultures, which can make it more difficult for people to seek out help if they need it, or to even be able to openly discuss their feelings, right? Because if they feel like, based upon what their culture does, they may want to go against something in their culture, and it may be hard for them to even talk about doing that because of the implications. And so also social structures can contribute to feelings of social isolation. So it's like a two-part thing. So it's the cultural thing, and then the social structures can contribute to feelings of loneliness. So we're going to talk about a couple of these today, and then of course learn how to overcome them. And so the first one I want to talk about is individualism. So a cultural and societal factor is individualism. Societies that promote individualism over collectivism can end up fostering a sense of independence, but that could also lead to what we're talking about as far as loneliness and as far as social isolation. And so in those cultures where there may be less emphasis on community bonds, then there has to be some type of fostering of those community bonds so that you don't feel lonely, right? And in some of these cultures that promote individualism, they may not have like collective networks that offer different support. And so you are basically left to fend for yourself. Like, you are considered an individual. You should be independent. You should be able to do everything on your own, which we know according to scripture that that is not the case. All right. And so the biblical example that we have for this is Proverbs 27 verse 17 that says, "Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another." And so even though, you know, the culture you're from may promote individualism and isolation, it's important to remember that God has called us to support and be there for one another. And so we have to be careful not to be in a place where we're like, I can do bad all by myself, right? But we're in a place where we're like, how can I get around other people in order to be able to fulfill, you know, what it is that I'm supposed to be doing with my life, okay? No one, and I'm going to continue to say it, no one should do life alone, all right? So a way that we can overcome this is by promoting collaboration, okay? And so it's easy to say things like, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself, or I don't like working in groups. I prefer working alone. However, there is power in collaboration. And so we have to emphasize that, right? That there's power in collaboration, and we have to emphasize collaboration and cooperation more than competition and more than individual achievements, because it's easy to just do something by yourself, but there's more power in it when you are able to partner up and do something with someone else. You know, it's so important. And this is one of the things that I do, because I think I've mentioned before, I'm a supervisor on my job. And so even though I am technically, quote unquote, the boss, or, you know, the leader, and I have the authority to give instructions, and those who are underneath me have to follow those instructions, I still, as a supervisor, collaborate, teamwork, and mutual support and community between my employees, because I will be quick to tell them, you know, I'm not directly involved in your job. I have oversight over your job, and I know how to do it if you're out, but you are the one that have all of the wisdom within your portfolio. So I am going to come to you for answers versus me, quote unquote, having all the answers because I'm the leader, right? Just because I'm the leader doesn't mean I have all the answers. I need my team. And so I promote collaboration amongst my team. They know, you know, hey, Lamika may ask me this question, so let me make sure I know the answer, right? And so we have to encourage that. We have to encourage teamwork. We have to encourage mutual support, and we have to encourage collective problem solving. Okay. And this collective problem solving and mutual support and teamwork, this isn't just at work. This is, you know, if you are in school, this is within your community, this is within your church, like whatever it is that you are a part of, then promoting collaboration should be something that's important to come out of that individualism into collectivism. Okay. And so the next factor is work culture. So kind of piggybacking on that. So work culture, demanding work schedules, right? For those who have long commutes, trust me, I know how that is. I used to have a really long commute. I used to commute an hour and a half, probably about an hour. Yeah. An hour and a half to work and 2 hours home from work. So, and that was every day back in the day. And then when I changed jobs, I had a 45 minute to an hour commute going to work and an hour and a half coming back from work. So trust me, I understand the long commutes. Okay. Where I live, traffic is a beast. So the long commutes, and, you know, even just focusing more on career advancement, those things can kind of limit opportunities for socializing. So if you're on the road for a long time, if you have a demanding work schedule, if you are the type that's super, you know, career empowered and you are working to advance on the career ladder, that can limit your opportunities for socializing. It can limit your opportunities for building meaningful relationships. And so even the work culture itself, like that's just you, you know, the you part of the work culture, but the work culture itself, if you are in a work culture that promotes, you know, productivity and competition over work-life balance and social connections, then that can also contribute to feelings of loneliness amongst employees. Okay. And so if you are in a work culture that's just production-based, right? So like your productivity is actively being tracked. I have a best friend that's like that. Her work productivity is actually being tracked. You have to produce a certain amount of things at a certain amount of time within your workday. Otherwise, you can get written up. And there are a lot of jobs like that, right? You can get in trouble if you are not producing a certain amount of tasks or a certain amount of items or a certain amount of calls or a certain amount of cases or anything like that. If you're not doing that by a certain time of the day or however many done by the day, you can get in trouble for that. And so that type of environment does not necessarily promote work-life balance or social connections, right? Because you don't have time to really talk to each other with your coworkers outside of getting those particular things done because you have to meet a quota, Okay. And so having these types of work cultures, or having, like I said, the demanding work schedule, the demanding, you know, long commute, if you're super hyper focused on career advancement, which is not a problem, you know, but just be mindful that you may at times feel like, man, I feel like I'm lonely, you know, or by myself, because you're so focused on work that you don't have the ability to see anything else. Okay. So let's talk about what the word says about this. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And so the word tells us here that we have to work, right? We have to work in order to be able to provide for ourselves and for our families. However, we should still have balance in our lives. Okay. We should still be able to be balanced in a way where we can hang out with friends, we can talk to coworkers, we can do things that we enjoy and go live life while still being able to be successful in our work and not feel lonely in it. Okay. So a way to kind of overcome this and address this with the workplace specifically would be to address toxic behaviors, right? Addressing toxic behaviors, because it's a nut, like, we spend the majority of time with our coworkers more than we do with our own friends and family, right? For those of us that work, you know, 40-hour work weeks, or you may work 10 to 12 hour shifts and things like that, you are spending more time with coworkers than you are with your families. And so this is where work-life balance comes in. And it's enough to spend that much time with people that you have to spend time with. It's enough doing that and then being in a toxic work environment at the same time. Right. And so we have to get to a point where we are bold enough to be able to speak up for ourselves. And I have had to do this multiple times over my career, where I have had to, you know, address toxic behaviors with my direct supervisors. Like, these aren't, you know, me going to go tell on them to somebody else, or, you know, talking about them and being like, hey, they're doing this. This is me, like, addressing it head on. And so there are work environments and work cultures where you do need to go tell on them to somebody else, because I have also done that as well. Right? Like, you got to go to HR and be like, listen, this is happening, this is going on, I need somebody to come address this with me. You know, for those who have unions, you know, you go to your union and you're like, hey, I am experiencing this, I need you to help me address this. And then there are times where you're like, hey, I need to address this head on, you know. And so in any of those situations, though, all of those situations are valid in handling them. In my particular situations, unions didn't exist. And so I had to, you know, address head on. And it was just like, did I receive backlash from doing that? To a degree. But because of the fact that those that I addressed the situations to, that were above them, I had favor with them. So I had favor with their supervisors. So even though my supervisor was toxic, I had favor with their supervisors, and I was able to kind of have a little bit of a buffer, even though there was, you know, I didn't have a union or anything to support, or the HR, I was able to have the buffer of that supervisor to address the situation with, you know, the person that was supervising me. And so that's just kind of how that worked out in my favor. Being in the position that I am now, I am not able to be in the union. And so thankfully, I work with great people, so I don't have to worry about that particular piece anymore, right? So however the situation is set up for you, addressing toxic behaviors like should be a thing. We do not go to work for people to belittle us, to talk down to us, to you know, yell at us and make us feel like we're less than. We're at work to do a job, to do what we are called to do in the workplace, and to be able to provide for our families, right? That is what we are there for. And so if you are in a culture that does not promote that, I would make the suggestion to either address the toxic behaviors or start having conversations with the Lord about leaving and, you know, doing something else. Okay. So just make sure that, you know, you are doing what you can to take care of yourself, doing what you can to take care of your mental, and doing what you can to take care of how you would want to be treated, right? And so I see so much on social media about, you know, toxic supervisors and toxic workplaces and things like that. And I'm like, there is so much better out there. You just have to go find it. And that's what I did. I was in a couple of toxic work cultures, and I was like, Lord, I cannot do this. Like, if I'm spending all this time with these people, I cannot do this. What can I do? And in one situation, he told me to address it. In two situations, he told me to address it. And then in one situation, I was trying to get out of it, and he told me to stay because he was going to take care of it. And I think I told you all that story in a previous episode, right? And so when you get with God and ask him, what do you want me to do? He will give you those instructions, and you just have to be mindful of that. But until those instructions come, address, address, address. We do not have the time to be treated like children when we are adults. And even children shouldn't be treated like that, right? So no, make sure that you are sticking up for yourself in the workplace. All right. Number three is age-related factors. Age-related factors. I'm seeing a lot these days coming out about ageism and how people who are more seasoned in age are being discriminated against. And that can obviously breed feelings of loneliness, right? So cultural attitudes towards aging and older adults, you know, ageism, social isolation, it could cause limited opportunities for social engagement. And so loneliness can be heightened in older adults. And this is something that, you know, I don't think is necessarily addressed, because everybody is so focused on, you know, the younger generation. What is it? The Gen Z and the millennials. You know, millennials, we're still young, but we're getting older. So then you have, you know, the older folks, and it's just like they may feel like nobody is really checking for them anymore, right? Nobody is really paying attention to who they are anymore. And they may still feel like, hey, I still feel young and spry. It's just my age, you know, that has nothing to do with it. And so when it comes to things like, you know, interviews for jobs, they may not get them because somebody may think they're too old. And that could be further from the case, right? And so the Bible tells us in Psalm 71, verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. And so when it comes to your age, like, no one can tell you what to do or how you feel. Okay. So if you are feeling good and you are well able to continue on, life is good. You may, you know, have been married before. You may have grandchildren, great grandchildren. You may, you know, just be getting older, but you're of retirement age now and things like that. Like, continue on with regular life and do you, because prove the youngins wrong, right? Prove that you are still here, that you still have a purpose, that God still has a plan for you. You know, we know that with age comes wisdom, or should come with wisdom, right? So anywhere that you are, you should be seen as a wealth of wisdom and not someone to isolate. So never, if you are of an older age, never let anybody make you feel like you are insignificant. You know, make sure that you are still out there. Get out there and go, you know, play bingo and go hang out with your friends and, you know, go dance and have a good time. Like, live life to the fullest and never let anybody despise who you are because of your age, right? And so a way to overcome this is by being in or having age-friendly environments. So whether you are the one that's cultivating the age-friendly environment or whether you are in an age-friendly environment, you know, be in those spaces, be in communities and public spaces that are accessible, one, and then number two, inclusive for people of all ages, because we're not just singling you out, right? Just because you're older, you know, be in places where all ages are available, you know? And then for those who like to advocate, if you're an advocator, then advocate for different policies and initiatives that promote age-friendly environments and that support healthy aging, you know? So maybe you go to a health fair and you're helping to promote, you know, making sure that people are eating right and exercising, like whatever it is that gets you going, continue to do that, because that is going to, number one, keep you young as you are just out and about. And number two, you know, you'll be able to share the wisdom that you have with others. And that's so important in this life. And it's so important in our walk with God, because the Bible, I mean, we have the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom, right? And so we want to make sure that we are always around people who can provide us wisdom and guidance in our next phases in life. And so make sure that you are continuing to live life to the fullest. So that is it for today. I hope something in that helps you out when it comes to cultural and societal factors of loneliness. And remember that at the end of the day, we don't have any time to be lonely, okay? But rather, we have all the time to live purpose-filled lives full of joy, peace, and love in the Lord. And so thank you for listening to the Confessions of a Christian Single Woman podcast. Remember, ladies, that God loves you immensely. There are no bounds or restrictions to his love. Always seek his face, hear his voice, and live his word out loud. If you have any questions that you would like to hear addressed on this podcast, you can shoot me an email at diary@confessionsofachristiansinglewoman.com. You can also DM me on social media. You can follow me at the Confessions of a Christian Single Woman Facebook page. Join the private community as well as like and click the bell on the YouTube page. So you can find us on YouTube at the Confessions of a Christian Single Woman. And I look forward to talking with you all next time. May the peace of the Lord go with you this week.